Our scripture reading comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 23 through 25. Romans 8, 23 through 25. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Pastor.
Well, happy Sabbath, everybody. Like to pray before we get started. Dear Father in heaven, please bless these words, bless my thoughts, and help me express them well. And please open everyone's ears to hear the message that you have for each one of them today. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jeff is just walking out. I was hoping he would hear part of this, but he has to go get a card for Rodney. He mentioned out in the hallway, you know, Jeff actually fell through his front porch this week and he scraped up his leg. Oh, there he is. I got something for you, Jeff. I'm gonna skip ahead this part of the sermon just for Jeff. Okay, so we're going to do a fast forward for Jeff. it says, all right, I want to go over here to 2 Corinthians 11, 22 to 29. 2 Corinthians 11, 22 to 29. Okay, I just want you to be encouraged by this, Jeff. Here's what it says here. This is the Apostle Paul. He dealt with some difficult things. 2 Corinthians 11, 22 to 29. This is our fast forward. So Paul is talking. He dealt with all kinds of issues. And then he goes into this, I don't even know how to describe it, like this motivated recounting of all the struggles he's had. Listen to this, everyone. It says in verse 23, he says, I'm in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, prisons more frequently, deaths often. From the Jews, received 40 stripes minus one, three times beaten with rods, once stoned, three times shipwrecked, night and day in the deep, journeys often, perils of waters, perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen, perils of the Gentiles, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, fastings, cold, naked, and besides the other things which come upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. So Paul led a joyful life in the Lord, but he also had a lot of struggles too. And the devil threw all kinds of stuff at him to stop him. And this part was for Jeff, because he said he fell through that porch. And Paul didn't say he fell through porches often, but it hurts. He said his legs all scraped up. So that was for you, Jeff. Yep. So stay encouraged. So that was towards the beginning of the message. And I want to talk about something that Paul had that carried him through all these struggles that I just talked about. Paul had something that allowed him to be beaten, shipwrecked, and all these different things. Can you imagine being beaten on the back all these times? 39 stripes, shipwrecked, out in the middle of the sea, floating around. He's almost like Jonah there. Weariness, toil, beaten. How can someone handle all this? Really? I mean, there was a guy, he was in Russia. I actually did a report on him in high school. And he wasn't a good guy, but he endured a lot of strange and crazy things. He was a man from Russia. He was in the early 1900s, either World War, I think he was World War II or World War I. You guys know who I'm talking about? His name begins with an R. He's a kind of a, he's an infamous character in world history. It was in Russia. All right, his name was Rasputin. Have you ever heard of him? Yeah, strange man. He was into the occult. He was into some deep spiritual strange things. But he actually got shot and stabbed, thrown in a river, and came out alive. And, you know, he was doing work for the devil, and he survived all that. So it shows that when you have spiritual forces behind you and they're working in your favor, you can actually do some amazing things. These demonic people do some crazy things too. But even more, when you serve the God of heaven and earth, you can endure unbelievable things like Paul did. You can endure anything. Paul, when he said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," he knew what it meant. So Paul had something that carried him through. And I want to ask you, how did Paul do it? How did Paul do it? Well, let's take a look. Let's go to Romans 8. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And I'll mention the verse in a moment. So Paul here in Romans 8, he's talking about our condition as humans here on this earth, in our corrupt bodies, subject to the flesh. He's talking about creation groaning, waiting for the redemption that is promised in Christ Jesus. You know, God promises to restore, to make a new heaven, a new earth one day. And Paul, in verse 23 of Romans 8, he says, "Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for" what? The adoption. The what of our body? Redemption. The redemption of our body. "For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." There's a word in there. That's what Paul had. Oh, perseverance is a good guess. That's not the one I'm going for, though. It's a few good choices, though. That's a good choice, Lil. There's a word that begins with an H in there. Hope. He had hope. What did he hope for? He hoped for the redemption of the body. He said, not only does creation, not only do we see animals with sickness, disease, running from people, we don't only see disease in trees, we don't see a rocky, tumultuous earth with tornadoes and hurricanes and fires, but we also groan within ourselves and wait for the adoption, the redemption of the body. Because Adam and Eve sinned, we've inherited sinful, corrupt, weak bodies. And all of us, to one degree or another, experience this weakness due to sin. More weakness comes with age, but you know, even when we're younger, even children face difficulties. And so we wait eagerly for the adoption, the redemption. And this is one of the pieces of the hope that Paul held on to. There's actually three things I want to talk about today that Paul hoped for that carried him through the beatings, the shipwrecks, and all the difficulties of life. And the first part of this hope was he hoped for redemption of the body. We know that Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and it was most likely his eyesight that was the issue, because he had people write letters for him. He couldn't see very well. And this thorn in the flesh that Paul had was a pain to him. So he intimately knew what it meant to groan with the pain in the body. But you know what? He persevered forward because he had a better hope. Okay, so you know what a trident is, right? A trident is, there's a mythological figure named Poseidon. He had a trident. And some even say the devil had a pitchfork, you know, that kind of image with the horns and stuff of the trident. Well, I want to say this is a trident, but it's not for evil or nonsense. This is the trident of hope, okay? This is the trident of hope. So first part of this trident of hope to keep the devil and his tactics at bay, the first part is remembering that we have redemption of the body in the future. All right, let's go to the middle prong of this trident of hope. Let's go to Colossians 1. Colossians 1. I'm going to turn on over here. You know, I'm doing Bible studies with a lady, and she doesn't know where the scriptures are very well. So what she's done is before I come and study with her, she's made little tabs out of paper and put them where all the verses are in her Bible that come from the study guide. So I thought that was nice that she did that. Okay, Colossians 1. Colossians 1, and we'll go over here. All right. This is Colossians 1, 24 to 29. And if you look in there, Paul, again, he reminds everyone about all of his sufferings. He calls to mind all the difficulties he faces. And then he says, verse 25, I became a minister according to the stewardship from God which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. And then he goes on, he talks about a mystery. He says, there's a mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. What is this mystery? To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is in you, the hope of glory. So, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. So, the mystery that God wanted to reveal to the Gentiles through the Hebrew people was Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's the middle prong of that trident of hope. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. What does that mean? Christ in you. Christ in you. Really think about that. What does that mean? Christ in you. Christ in you. Well, let's talk about that. Well, we know that Paul had this hope in him, and he labored earnestly and perseveringly. There was one time when he was in the middle of a city and there was a huge riot and people were tossing and turning and pushing and shoving, just trying to get at Paul to kill him. And he didn't shout evil things at them. He didn't swear at them. Why didn't he do it? Because he had Christ formed within him, the hope of glory. What does it mean to have Christ formed in you? It means to grow in Christ day by day. You've seen what Jesus did in his life? He preached. He taught. He healed people. He would go out of his way. He'd stay up late to go and heal someone. He would stay up late to go and talk with Nicodemus about being born again. He made all the sacrifices necessary to get the message to the people who wanted the message. Part of Christ being formed within you, the hope of glory, is living a life like Christ, a life of self-sacrifice, a life where no cost is too great to bring the gospel to a needy soul. It means maybe when your back is hurting, it maybe means when you're feeling sick and you have someone that you want to take a Bible study to, but you don't feel like it. It means going, whether you're hurting or not. Paul did it. Jesus did it. Paul was tired. Jesus was tired. And they went forward. I mean, I can think about stories from our church pioneers. If you know anything about Ellen White, she was actually a very weak lady with lots of health troubles. And you know what? She would go up to preach sometimes, and she didn't even know if she was going to be able to stand up to preach. But you know what? She would get up out of that chair. She would pray to the Lord, get up out of that chair, come up and start preaching. And the Lord sent His Spirit on her, and she would preach a message that would touch the hearts of the people. By whose strength? By God's strength. So when you're facing difficulties, when you're facing obstacles, and these may not even be physical obstacles, they may be mental ones, ask God for help and move forward in faith, because God has the strength to carry you through. And that's part of having Christ formed within you, the hope of glory. It's that hope carrying you through. That hope. And not only does it mean living a life like Christ and persevering, but it means having God's character formed within you. Part of this corrupt body is that we naturally want to do evil. It's not agreeable to naturally to eat healthy food. It's not normal to not want to get upset at someone. It's not normal to love someone, actually. We are not born loving people. We're born selfish. And this is the glory of the gospel, brothers and sisters. It's being changed from this corruption and being changed into someone with the character of Christ, the character of God. It means not being subject to the passions and the desires of the flesh, being controlled by our desires to eat and to have relationships and to earn money and succeed in this life. It means not being controlled by those things. It means having those things in subjection to God. And then He gives us the strength to have it all in the right order. That's what it means to have Christ within you, the hope of glory. Christ lived His life perfectly, perfect self-control, perfect temperance, perfect love. And you can have that too, brothers and sisters. You can have that formed within you day by day. That's the middle prong of that hope. So that trident of hope, the first prong is hope in the redemption of our corrupt bodies in the resurrection. The second prong is Christ in you, the hope of glory, being transformed while we're living in these corrupt bodies in character to become more like Christ. Our bodies won't be changed. We'll still struggle. But we can step by step overcome in Christ. All right, part three of this trident of hope. Let's go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 1 here, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. And by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." Then in verses 4 through 7, we hear about a few people who had strong faith. And not only did they have faith, but they had hope. First one was Abel. He was basically the second person born on earth. He was the second person born on the earth. Him and his brother were out in the field one day in an argument because Abel did what God said. You remember when I was talking to the kids and I said, Noah did what God said? Abel did what God said too. Abel offered an animal, the firstborn of the flock, unblemished to God. Cain brought fruit. And they were in the field one day, and Cain kills Abel because he's jealous. But Abel did what he did because he had hope and he trusted God. I'm sure he could see that his brother was getting angry with these sacrifices. But you know what? In hope, he believed God and he said, I'm not going to follow my older brother and do what he does. I'm going to listen to God and do what he tells me to do. So part of faith is actually hope. Next one is Enoch. Enoch was a special man because he had hope too. And, you know, he was special because he actually got the reward of the hope that Paul had. Not many people have experienced this reward yet. Enoch walked so closely with God that God actually took him right to heaven. Enoch lived 365 years on this earth, and he pleased God, and he did what God said. He was a friend of God. One day the Lord just took Enoch up in heaven, and Enoch is actually in heaven today. He's received redemption from a corrupt body. He's received Christ within him, formed within him, and he has received part of the next part of that hope that I'm about to talk about. None of these other people received the hope that Enoch received. So the next one is Noah. Noah, in hope, he listened to what God said. You heard what I told the kids. Noah was moved with godly fear, and he prepared an ark to get ready for the coming flood. And you know, today, God has warned us about something that's coming. This isn't a good hope. Part of hope is expecting something that you don't see yet. So there can be expectation of things that are even bad we know are going to happen. We know something bad's going to happen in this country. Religious persecution is going to come in this country, and there's going to be a law enforcing worship upon us. And God has warned us to prepare ahead of time to get ready for that, because there'll be a time when we cannot buy or sell. If you can't buy or sell, that means you can't get food. So God has warned us to get ready for that time. And we're approaching that time, brothers and sisters. As God opens the way, believe what he says, and it's coming. Get ready as the Lord moves upon you. Pray to the Lord about this, because if you see what's going on in the government, and we see it every year, it gets church and state get closer and closer together. Something's coming, and we're going to be in some tough times. We're going to be like Paul, actually. We're going to have times of maybe no food for a day, a few days. We may be shipwrecked. We may have to fast because of the strong temptations that are going to be pressed upon us during the time of persecution. We may be beaten. We may be betrayed, thrown in a deep, dark, dingy prison, loneliness. All these things are the bullets. They're the grenades. They're the atomic bombs of the enemy that he sends to derail us and send the train that we are off a track. But, you know, when a train goes on a track, it's going towards a destination. When you walk on the narrow way of Christianity, you're moving toward a destination, and that's toward heaven. You're moving towards Jesus. Jesus says, walk on the narrow way. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, but stay on the narrow way. And I want to encourage you today, keep hold of that hope of a heavenly country. And that's the third prong of this trident. It's actually hope in a heavenly country. Janet mentioned it today in Sabbath school. She was talking about a place that's our temporary home. This earth is our temporary home, and we have something to look forward to. We have a heavenly country to look forward to. Who likes to travel here? Does anyone like to travel? I know I do. And why do people like to travel? Why do we like to travel? Does anyone have any ideas? Why do we like to travel?
See something new.
See something new. Why else do you like to travel?
The destination.
Destination. Who else likes to travel here? Why do you like to travel, Deb?
Relax.
Relax.
The journey itself.
The journey itself. Okay. Well, what makes traveling fun for me is more along the lines of something new. And you know what actually goes along with that? It is hope. And, you know, all these people sought a heavenly country. They realized they were on a journey. All of us here are traveling, whether we realize it or not. We are traveling to a heavenly country, a place where we can get relaxation. We can see new things. It's a place where there's something better. God has a clear crystal river prepared for us, streets of gold, beautiful things to see, and best of all, we have the hope of Jesus up ahead to see in that heavenly country. You say, why does it feel good to travel? So I'm going to talk a little bit about some science of this here. So there's actually a science to hope. Hope, there's two parts to hope actually. People studied it. It has to do with belief and expectation. So hope has to do with believing something, a fact, some knowledge, something. And then the other part is expecting that that will happen. And there's a neurochemical cascade that happens when that occurs. That's actually related to addiction as well. When you're anticipating, when you're hoping, when you're looking forward to something, your dopamine levels rise. Often people will say dopamine goes up just for pleasure, but the studies show, it is associated with pleasure, but the studies show that dopamine is more associated with anticipation and expectation of reward. Anticipation and expectation. That's why it feels good to travel. Part of it is the hope and expectation for something better in the future. The hope of something good that's coming. I mean, I know if I'm going to go on a long journey somewhere, I've driven, you know, 18, 20 hours to get to Florida from Indiana before. What keeps you going is the hope of the destination, the hope of getting there. When you're working, it's a long day at work, and there's difficulties, but it's a project, you know, you want to complete it. You can see a vision of the completed project. That's what keeps you going. That's what should keep you going rather than fear. It's no fun to work by fear. And it's better to work with the hope of something better. So, you know, think about what's going on actually in Paul's brain when he's enduring these sufferings and these beatings and these difficulties. In Paul's brain, there's dopamine and endorphins going that are keeping him going. Like, neurochemically, he keeps going because he has hope in something better. So even the belief of something better in a heavenly country, Christ being formed within you, and redemption of our corrupt body, that will keep you going through all the trials that you face. It'll keep you joyful. Why do people do drugs like cocaine and crack and meth? What happens when people do those drugs? They what?
Well, the first thing is they're escaping any kind of pain or sorrow that they're experiencing.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, they're escaping. And what happens when they're on those drugs? How do they act? And what are they looking for? What type of feeling do those drugs give specifically? A high. And what do you think of someone on crack or cocaine? What are they like? Or methamphetamines. Well, there's euphoria, but one characteristic of these people often is that they what? They feel like nothing can stop them. They can just keep going. And some people, you know, they may be very happy actually on those things, but they can just keep going. And you know what? When you, I'm not saying being a Christian is like being on cocaine or crack or meth, but to a milder degree, when you have hope in Christ and hope in something better, it drives you and it keeps you going. That's how Paul did it. That's how Jesus did it, is because they had something better to look forward to. So if you're feeling demotivated, destabilized, derailed, run off the tracks, ask the Lord to help you think in your mind, think of what's ahead and what he has for you. And things will start to just start rolling. Your hands may liven up, your legs will liven up, your mind will quicken. You can have that as a Christian. And so, all right, we're going to be closing up here. Let's talk a little bit more about the redemption of the body. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 and 14. Paul says here, "But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who've fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." When you don't have Jesus, you don't have hope, and you'll just end up saying, you know, let's eat, drink, because we're going to die tomorrow. But Paul's saying, don't do that. We don't sorrow like people who don't have hope. We have a risen Savior. We have a Savior who died on the cross for us, and we have hope in the redemption of these corrupt bodies. And he's reminding them of that. Then he goes on to say, we'll all meet the Lord in the air together, and we'll be in the kingdom in that heavenly country. All right, second prong again. Christ formed within you. Let's go back to Romans 8. Romans 8. Romans 8, 9 to 11. Romans 8, 9 to 11. It says, but you are not in the flesh. Romans 8, 9 to 11. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. These bodies are dead because of sin, but they can live through Christ Jesus, who is risen from the dead. You can have a character in you that matches Christ. You can have a character, you can have character traits like faith, hope, love, mercy, kindness, peace. You can have that hope that Jesus and Paul had. And you can have it with the Holy Spirit living in you. What does it take to live in the Holy Spirit? We'll take a look at that in a few minutes. Third prong, heavenly country. I'm not going to go to the scripture for it right now, but it's just a small illustration. We're on a journey, and we're looking forward to something better. And as we travel to this heavenly country, there's going to be potholes. There's going to be, help me out with some obstacles here. What are some obstacles you face?
Pain and suffering.
Pain and suffering. What else do we have? Potholes, pain, suffering. Let's get creative here.
Discouragement.
Controversy. There's going to be controversies. Bridges are going to collapse. I'm speaking metaphorically. They could collapse physically too. Bridges can collapse. Huh?
Betrayal.
Betrayal. You reminded me another thing I mentioned earlier. trains can get derailed. Yep. Wheels can come off.
Get lost.
Get lost.
Flat tires.
Take the wrong path. All these things can happen along the journey to heaven. And it's a narrow way. It's a difficult way. You know, the way to hell is smooth. It's a nice paved cruise control highway. It's easy to be on cruise control. And that's what we're on naturally. These corrupt bodies, they're on cruise control. They'll just run and do the things of the flesh if we don't have God in the driver's seat with control of the wheel and the clutch and the stick shift. We would just be going on a highway. I hate to say, I'll just say it, the highway to hell. It's an old song. I actually used to like that song. So some of you probably heard that song before. You're on a highway to hell. I shouldn't even be laughing about that, but yeah, that's actually what you're on if you're not on the narrow way. The narrow way is a tough way, but it's a good way. So I want to encourage you to go on it. So if you don't have hope, you don't have an aim. It's like, all right, you see a target there with red rings, white rings, and a bullseye right in the middle. Imagine a target. And let's say you got a gun, a bow and arrow, maybe a dart. When you're looking at a target, you have an aim. And you're aiming for that bullseye right there with your gun, your hand, or you know, your bow and arrow. And that's kind of what hope is like, having an aim, a place to go. But if you don't have hope, you're aimless. If someone is aimless and they got a gun and they're aiming at a target, they're not looking where they're shooting. They may shoot around the bullseye. They may shoot off to the side, but they're not going to be hitting the mark. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're looking at. And so that's what we've actually been redeemed from, is aimlessness. Peter talks that about in his epistle. He says, you've been redeemed from your aimless conduct received from your fathers. Has anyone here ever wasted time, procrastinated, doing aimless things? Yeah? I know we've all done it. That's aimlessness is kind of like hopelessness. It's just doing whatever, no goal. Let's not be aimless Christians today. Let's be hopeful Christians with the goal of going to heaven, with the goal of having Christ formed within us, the hope of glory, with the hope of resurrection of these mortal corrupt bodies. And if you've received this hope, don't keep it to yourself. Receive this hope into your heart. Hold that trident of hope and hand it to someone so they can fight the devil off too. Give this hope to people. Pass it along. Pass it along. And how can you maintain this hope? And now here's some practical things here. Now, what's our hope again? What's this trident of hope? What makes it up?
Redemption of the body.
What else? Christ in you, the hope of glory. And one last thing, I didn't say it as much, but there's one more. Hope of eternal home. Remember, we're on a journey. It's fun to travel, fun to go on a journey. Remember, we're on a journey today. You always have something to look forward to. So, this trident of hope can be maintained and polished by doing a few simple things. One is, when you open your eyes in the morning, grab a hold of that trident of hope. Ask the Lord for the Holy Spirit so that you're not on cruise control all day, so that you're not running in old habits and things you were born into, because it's going to be a battle every day. You need the Holy Spirit every morning. Ask God for the Spirit. So that's one thing you can do. And then read the scriptures. And not only are the scriptures great to learn from, but they give you something to think about in your down times. So you're driving, or you're even when these obstacles arise, the scripture you read that day may just be exactly what you need to overcome those obstacles. So read the scriptures in the morning, and not only read and study, but live it out. Put it into practice day by day. And at the end of the day, there's one last thing you can do. Some of the most successful people in the world will tell you that one of the best ways to learn and get better at what you're doing, it's hard work being a Christian. Takes practice. Jesus says, though, his yoke is easy, his burden's light. Here's what those people do. They do a daily review. They think about the day and see what they could have done better, where they failed, and basically do a daily review. At the end of each day is a great time to set aside time to do a daily review and do it with God. Ask him to help you review your day. So these are a few practical things to keep that hope alive. Consecrate yourself in the morning, read the scriptures, and do a daily review at the end of the day. And make sure you set aside time to do this. Because if you don't set a specific time, you're likely to just start doing other things and overstep and forget about it. So, I want to encourage you today, hold on to that immortal hope. Hold on tight, because it's what's going to carry you through the difficulties day by day. Who here would like to have that hope? Who here wants that trident of hope? Hold your hand up with that trident of hope. All right, praise the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, give us the grip strength to hold on to that trident of hope, and give us repentant, humble hearts to stay close to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, closing song is 526.